All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, and joining me today in our makeshift studio is my partner, Jim Falzone. Jim, welcome.
I'm looking forward to it.
Great. I know you're looking forward to it. I always got to remember to turn the mic on. So we are here at the Sidetrack Bar and Grill in Ypsilanti, Michigan, with a good group of all of our friends for our 1,000th episode.
Holy cow, 1,000?
I know, that's impossible. It really is. And we want to make sure that we thank everybody who's ever been involved with Veterans Radio for joining us today and helping us celebrate this great
milestone. It's a heck of a milestone.
Well, it is. And I need to thank, I talked with Bob Gould this morning. He's not able to make it live today, but he wanted to make sure that we thank everybody for all of their support in the beginning of the program. As we go along, we'll talk about some of the adventures that we had during our first show, which is going to be sort of like the technical issues that we had today. We had everything we thought all lined up. We just could not get the speaker out into our audience. So they're all listening on their phones, which thanks to all the technology and thanks to Wham Signal, they can hear what we're saying. So before we really get into the program, I want to make sure that we thank all of our corporate sponsors, and then because we can get that out of the way, and then we can just have fun and talk with whoever we want to talk to. All right, so I want to make sure that we thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans, specializing in veterans' disability claims. Give them a call at 800-693-4800. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, is the nation's leading third-party authority for the certification of veteran-owned businesses. If you want to do business with the federal government or some corporations, you got to be certified as a true veteran-owned business. So go for more information for them, go to their website, that's nvbdc.org, or give them a call at 888-237-8433. Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information about them, go to va.gov/Ann Arbor Healthcare. The Irwin Presscorn, America Legion Post 46, and the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310, both of Ann Arbor, Michigan. They have been longtime supporters. We could not do this program without them. And I want to thank all of those.
They're well represented today.
They are well represented today. It's great to see everybody, and I'm happy that they're enjoying themselves. So that's I just remembered. If you would like to become a sponsor of Veterans Radio, which of course we would like you to do, remember that Veterans Radio is a nonprofit 501c3 nonprofit corporation. You can go to our website, veteransradio.org, and click on the donate button. We really appreciate all that you do. Since we've announced this 1,000th program, we've had a number of contributions, and we really appreciate all of you supporters that are out there. The one announcement that I want to get out before we go on is that here locally in the Washtenaw County area, we've got our Vet Fest coming up on July 22nd. That's Saturday, July 22nd from 10 until 3 p.m. And it is going to be at Washtenaw Community College. And there's bands, free lunch. Wow. Free food. Every veteran in the world will be there. Understand that there's going to be a Chinook. I heard a rumor about that. That'll be cool. All kinds of other things. And it's a great opportunity to come together with your fellow veterans. So that's VetFest 23, Saturday, July 22nd from 10 until 3 at Washtenaw Community College here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. All right, Jim, that's the official business out of the way.
Well, let's do one other thing because I'm sure he's listening, and that's our friend and board member, Dr. Eric Fretz, Captain, U.S. Navy, retired. He's checking out the VA Ann Arbor Hospital. He's undercover. He's a patient, so he's checking out the care there. He would have otherwise been here. Eric, we're thinking about you, buddy. Get well soon, and we look forward to having you back on the air with us.
Absolutely, yes. We always want to make sure. That's one of the reasons that we have the best VA, we think, in the entire country. because we're all using it.
<You're right. laughs>
And we haven't had too many complaints in a long time. So it's a great place if you have to go to a VA hospital. So Eric, yes, please do get ready. The other thing is that, Kate Melcher is another one of our board members. She injured herself yesterday and, she has not arrived yet, but we want to say, give a shout out to Kate and hope that she's feeling much better. She threw her back out.
We'll make Will talk a little bit later, so we'll get him introduced, another one of our board members.
Yeah, we have here. That board member. The other board member I want to thank for helping us with all of our social media and so forth is Lydia Pinkham, and she's out in Colorado. She's a Coast Guard veteran. And Lydia, thank you if you are listening. I know that you enjoy living out there in the mountains. And she's just finished up her master's degree and is moving on.
Well, we should also thank Tammy Bethune and all that she's done for Veterans Radio over the years, and including working with us today to get actually on the air. So thank you, Tammy. We're glad to have you here at the Sidetrack Bar and Grill in Ypsilanti, Michigan, where we're holding our 1,000th program.
That's right. And we got Will Kirkster is out there with his wife and little boy. We want to thank him very much for coming. Yay, he's another board member, an Army veteran. The board of Veterans Radio America, which is the parent organization of Veterans Radio, are all military veterans, and we really can't pull this off without their help and their contributions. And it's just been an amazing ride for these 1,000 programs. And I have a couple of comments that I wanted to make that we got in our emails this week. The first one was, and this is kind of go back and talk a little bit about the beginning of the program. This is from Mark Linke, and Mark says, been with you from the beginning when you and Bob first started broadcasting from the, he calls it the cat house at WSDS. He says, I'll have to explain that, which I will in a second. Says, congratulations, Dale. Please to see you take your dream and bring it to life. Here's hoping for 1,000 more, God, 1,000 more programs, and then I'll be around to enjoy all of them. Yeah, I understand, Mark. I can agree with you. It'd be nice to be around for 1,000 programs. That would only make me 97.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can do that, right?
Yeah, yeah. You just keep taking care of yourself.
So the,
well, you gotta, it's a good place to start because talk about WSDS, which is the little station we drove by coming here with, big antenna, but it's a little box. So tell us how it got started.
Well, WSDS is, let me back this up real quickly for everybody who doesn't know the whole story. Bob Gould and I were talking one day at, after a meeting, a conference that we had gone to. And I said, I want to do something. I want to do something different. I was talking to a gentleman out in Manchester, Max Walters, and he was an Army veteran who had been involved on D-Day. And when I talked to him the first time, he says, Dale, he says, I know you were in the military. Come on out to the barn here. I want to show you something. So I go out to his barn, and he's got 101st Airborne stuff all over every wall. Everything's all over there. And 4 hours later, we came out of there, and his wife said he had never told those stories before. She said, I didn't know he did that. I didn't know this and so forth. And I said, there's something here. And so when Bob and I were having our little meeting after this other meeting, I said, this sounds like something that we should do. It's something that I think we can do. And he just reached across the table and said, I'm with you. I said, I didn't even know he was a veteran. He said, he's an Army paratrooper. In the early 60s, he was called up for the Cuban Missile Crisis and so forth. So off we went. Talked to the members of the VVA 310, got another recruit from there, Ken Rogie, and I think Ken was going to try to make it here, but with all the construction in Michigan, you're lucky if you can get out of your driveway. Ken is a former Armed Forces radio broadcaster.
So he was the only one who knew what he was doing.
He was the only one who knew. I back up on that. Both Bob and I had, which is weird, had master's degrees in communication from the U of M. Which we finally started using, 40 years after we graduated. But he, so Ken came on and showed us how to do the whole thing. And then our very good friend, Gary Lilly, who's Navy CB, he says, can I play? And so he helped us out financially at the beginning. And so Gary became one of the major, major voices of Veterans Radio. And, unfortunately, Gary was killed by a drunk driver a number of years ago.
But what really shows up here is that first, hey, there's a stories that the family doesn't even know. And I kind of view a good interview nowadays when you and I get done and somebody says he's never told that story before. That's a good interview here on Veterans Radio, which is the voice of Americans veterans.
I think one of the things that we have found is that so many of these veterans, you know, they're a little bit reticent to tell their stories. You know, they don't think it's important. They don't think it's any good and so forth and so forth. But when there's another veteran sitting across the table from them, they're more willing to open up.
Now I got you diverted because we started with WSDS.
Yeah, you did.
And then you got a couple of more radio stations along the way, and we ought to give them all credit for these thoughts and programs.
All right. So we started off on WSDS, Studs, old fashioned rock and roll station owned by the Cook family. The transmitter was ancient, and sometimes it would go down and you had to bang on it to get it to work. And you could hear the sound go up and down. And he had cats, and there were six cats in the studio. That was 10. These cats would walk all across the control boards and stuff. And so sometimes the knobs would work and sometimes the cat knobs wouldn't work. And one time they opened them up to clean it. It was like a cat lived in there.
Fur ball, one big fur ball.
And the studio, the soundproofing in the studio was all shag carpeting. And it was not good looking shag carpeting.
I'm not sure shag carpeting ever was good looking.
So anyway, so we were on SDS, and we really appreciate Cook family for letting us do that. Again, this was Bob finding the station.
And then you moved, I think, to W.
We went to Wham.
You went to Wham, and then, okay, so there's two visits to Wham.
So there's two visits to Wham. We went to Wham, WAAM 1600, for those of you that are listening on Wham right now. This was our home for two or three more years, and then Wham was purchased by a company from Texas, and they got rid of everybody. And so, oh my God.
Welcome to radio. Format change.
You know, yeah, format change. Exactly. So, and then, Bob gets on the phone again. And the next thing you know, we are on WDEO, which is Catholic radio, Domino's Farms here in Ann Arbor, that is owned by Tom Monahan, who turns out is a Marine.
Right. Right.
And so that was the connection. So we were the only, secular program. We were surrounded by priests and nuns and everything else. It was quite the journey. And that's where I met your wife for the first time, because confession was held down the hallway from the radio station. And the window behind the control room, you could see the people lining up to go to the confession. Which was kind of, but they were wonderful. I mean, we were on there for 5-6 years, I think, somewhere in that neighborhood. And,
then a format change.
Well, a format change, and
they decided talk radio about war. What probably wasn't a good fit for them.
It didn't quite fit. Although we were very grateful for them because we had a large audience, because they had something like 120 affiliates.
Yeah.
That would allow us, you know, to go out there, and the So we ended up we got interviewed. We had live TV came in there. Al Jazeera America came in there, and you know, we were a little hesitant about that because it's, you know,
right,
at the beginning,
right,
of the whole conflict and so forth. And we're going, well, you know, well, it can't hurt. So I mean, they bring in this huge truck with TV cameras and
lights. Oh no, more cables.
We just sat. It was almost like, you know, makeup came in and hit us with, you know, pancake stuff. And so we were on those for a couple of times until they went belly up. Anyway, we lose WDEO, and we, lo and behold, Wham has been bought by Theron and Linda Hughes, and they let us back on.
And been there since.
And we have been there since. And the lovely Linda, as Theron calls her, was really just a godsend for us, because she carried us for a while until we were able to pay our bills. And just a wonderful, wonderful woman. I'm really sorry that we lost her.
Well, and our friend Derek, who's quietly making sure all this works, has been really a godsend too, because there's a real skill set to getting this program on the air and out to everybody every week. So we appreciate Wham and Derek and
Dan Martin and all of them out there for you know, keeping us when we're live. They keep us on the air, and you know, all the volumes, all of you that are listening through Wham, is, you know, you're getting a pretty good signal, I think. We've got some ambient noise, obviously, but it's I think it's sounding pretty good.
Well, they're having a great time, which is what we want them to do. We have veterans talking to veterans, sharing stories, telling war stories and fish stories, I'm sure. But in 1,000 programs, now you and I haven't rehearsed this, but give me some flavor of what you think your most memorable programs are, the guys or gals that you've interviewed.
I think, well, the first thing I want to say is for everybody that is listening out there, if you'd like to call in, please do. The number is 734-822-1600. 734-822-1600. Boy, you know, that's a tough one.
So I'm going to throw one out because I know Bob Gould's listening, and one of his favorite guests, and you've continued with her because she's great, is Dr. Rebecca Grant. For Veterans Radio to have a international expert on affairs, not only Air Force, but just sort of world affairs. I think Dr. Rebecca Grant's right up there with folks that we always enjoy when she's on.
Oh, yeah. We like that. We like to think that we got, you know, that we got her start because now she's a contributor on Fox. And so I usually, we will talk usually about every 3 or 4 months, find out what's going on in the world and solve the world's problems.
It's really important to have somebody who has their thumb on the pulse of what's going on, whether it's Ukraine or China or Korea or Iran or Russia. I mean, we've covered the globe with Rebecca Grant, and that's one of the things that I think we're able to do on Veterans Radio because of our consistency is bring our veterans. Hey, maybe a while since you've been over there, but this is what's going on in Afghanistan or what Russia's doing in Ukraine. So it's been, I think these are great stories to bring forward.
Well, I mean, we have so many stories, and I want to, we have a phone call coming in here. And for those of you, when we were working at WDEO, we had a couple of interns, and one of them is on the line.
Ah.
And this is Nina. Hi, Nina.
Well, hello. A pleasure to be on the phone with you guys once again.
It is great to hear your voice. So Nina was with us for, what did you say, 6 years?
It was about 6 years, yeah, 2012 to 2018, maybe a little 2020. I can't remember. Oh, gosh. I'm getting old, you guys. I'm getting old. I don't remember.
I thought, you know, you started as a child.
She did.
Yeah, we figured when I was talking to Nina earlier in the week that she was there for about 300 of the programs.
Wow.
That we did. And she ran our board.
Well, Nina's a good example of Dale that it's really taken a village to kind of keep Veterans Radio on the air. And Nina, everything that you did, was necessary and appreciated. And, you probably left and thought, well, those guys will fall apart. And we almost did, but we're still on the air.
No, it's going to take a lot more to get you guys down. I'm sure of that. But, I loved my time with you guys. I still think about you all the time. I drive past a Huey on my way to and from work. They use it down here. I'm in North Carolina. They use it as a fire service, fighting wildfires. So they repurposed their Hueys, which I always think of Dale about, to fight fires now.
Oh, that's great.
I think that's great. We were just talking about, Jim was asking me about what my favorite shows were, and I wanted to ask if you have any memories of a particular show that you thought was really meaningful?
I remember always liking the programs that we did about musicians, and I think we always got a pretty good response, good feedback from those kinds of programs. I think music connects people in ways that sometimes words cannot.
Yeah, all the music is musical shows are really very popular, and especially when we're using veterans music, you know, veteran music. And, we started, for those of you that listen to Veterans Radio, you know that every month we do a segment from Operation Song out of Nashville where they take a veteran and put him together with a songwriter and singer, and they come up with a in most cases, an amazing song in less than a day. So, you know, we certainly do appreciate that. So Nina was on there. Maria was there. We had Matt Dewar ran our board for a while. We had a number of U of M communication students actually came through while we were getting ourselves started with helping us with design and logos and all types of things like that. So Nina has gone on to graduate from college. And what are you doing down in North Carolina now?
I am a registered dietitian. I work at a level one trauma center. I'm at a hospital system in South Carolina because I'm pretty close to the border. My job is to try and make sure that people, you know, don't eat the wrong things for their medical condition. Try not to make anything worse. Trying to prevent disease, or slow disease progression, basically, is what I'm doing. Trying to help people not eat junk food all the time.
That's great. No, that's very worthy. And we veterans who have to eat a lot of junk, we need advice from folks like you. That
she helped us to develop a much better diet.
Yes, so we appreciate that. So
well, you know, there's something to be said for that. There's research coming out. I think there's only been about four or five studies research linking gut health to mental health. And there's been some studies with veterans out of the VA studying probiotic use in conjunction with PTSD treatment. So, yeah, and your nutrition, you know, it may not cure anything, but it'll definitely help the situation.
No, that's great. Nina, thank you for calling in. And I want to, if I can, jump off what Nina said here, Gail. And we try to talk about this on Veterans Radio. The VA not only has a, you know, vast hospital system, they do a lot of research. And as Nina just pointed out, some of their research really sort of points people in a better direction. And so whether it's TBI or PTSD or gut health or anything, I think we're all pretty surprised about the amount of research and positive medical steps forward by the VA. So those are great stories to tell as well.
Right. Thank you, Nina, very much. We'll be talking again. It's great to hear from you.
So I'm going to ask you, because I know this is one of your favorite stories because you've had them on a couple of times, and it fits in a category that I want to talk about. But certainly Colonel Charles Kettle is one of the interviews that you've had over time that you've just, I know, has been special.
Well, it's amazing. We're sitting here, folks, at the Sidetrack Bar and Grill in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and I'm looking out at all of these veterans, which is really cool. It's a great thing. But I'm also looking at half of the authors that participated in this project that we worked with Colonel Kettles. And for those of you that are not familiar, Colonel Charles S. Kettles is a Medal of Honor recipient, and he is a Medal of Honor recipient for the action that he had way back in 1967, I think it was. And he received the Distinguished Service Cross, and it took 50 years almost for it to be upgraded to a Medal of Honor. And Charlie lives in Ypsilanti, and I've got to give a quick shout out because this morning I went to, some of you might remember this. Every time we would go over to Colonel Kettle's house for a meeting, for writing the book and so forth, he would have donuts from Dom's Bakery there. And today I went through the drive-through at Dom's Bakery, and the woman that takes the order, she says, "Congratulations on your 1,000th
program." Wow, that's great. That's great.
So I said I would give a shout-out to Dom's Bakery. It's the best bakery in Ypsilanti. It's the best bakery in many miles. It's great. Please.
Kettles was a humble man who did incredible things as a young man. Being recognized with the Medal of Honor before he passed. Unfortunately, so many Medal of Honor recipients receive it posthumously. But it meant a lot, not only to him, his family, but the community. And I think that's what, again, we're good at telling stories about how there's a big impact for the community with these types of awards.
Right. And the way Charles talked about it, and the way all of the Medal of Honor recipients we've had on the program, that, you know, they're all so humble. And they all know that they have a tradition that they have to uphold. And so it's, you know, the responsibility that comes along with it And a couple of these guys that are sitting out there got to go to this ceremony where he received the Medal of Honor. But he was, you know, I'm 6'2". Colonel Kettles was about 5'4". And it was, we were both helicopter pilots.
He fit better in the helicopter.
I think sometimes he did fit better in there. You know, he had squeezed in. But what a wonderful man. Well, I'm getting emotional here.
Well,
a real privilege to have known him.
And now the recognition of his service and his heroics, not only with the Medal of Honor, but they've named the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System after Lieutenant Colonel Charles Kettle. So his memory and everything that he meant to the community lives on. And we're thrilled to have them as a sponsor here on Veterans Radio.
Yeah, no, every one of those Medal of Honor recipients that we've had the privilege of talking to on the program. And I know, you know, since you started doing a lot more hosting, you have talked to many Medal of Honor recipients, the younger ones.
Yeah,
mostly.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're the same.
I am, if I have to start ranking programs that I've done and interviews that I've had, certainly the Medal of Honor recipients fall into the top of that. They're the cream that rise. And there aren't, you know, a lot of them are posthumously, as I mentioned. So you talk to an author or somebody was with them, but guys like Kyle Carpenter, a Marine, an incredible story of selfless devotion, jumping on a grenade, saving his buddies and putting him back together surgically, which today you can do. In the past, you wouldn't have been able to do. So talking to Medal of Honor recipients is one of the things that certainly is key to what we do, but it's also the average Joe. I talked recently with Ike McKinnon. The name may be familiar to some folks. He was a Detroit, top cop, chief of Detroit Police Force, but he was an Air Force vet, was in Vietnam early on. And he's now 79 some years old. And he concludes his interview by saying, you know, as I reflect now after all these years, I think every man and woman should join up and have to serve because it was so foundational to making me who I am. And I think a lot of us feel that way, that, you know, too many kids are, you know, we've got a recruiting problem. We need to fix it. Yes. You know, one way to fix it is say everybody should be talking about to their kids. You got to really look at this. This is a really positive influence on your life. And we're hoping the stories we tell here on Veterans Radio communicate that to those who listen, and maybe they pass it on to their kids and nieces and nephews.
Well, I mean, you know, you think about the experiences that we have had, you know, not only our service experiences, but now all of the friends that we have, you know, that can share the same stories. And I know that this is to encourage the younger people to, you know, especially the young veterans, is to get involved. You don't necessarily have to, it doesn't have to be the VFW or something like that. It could be, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan, Veterans of America, or your local, you know, battalion group.
Red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
Team Rubicon.
All those
guys we talked to.
You guys are all young. And, we've got one of our board members is on the line here. So we have Christine Cook. So, Christine is an Army veteran, colonel, as in full bird. And Christine, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Happy 1,000th episode.
Thank you very much. Good to hear from you. How are things at the Army War College?
Very busy right now. My course is about to go live tomorrow, so that's part of the reason I'm not in your vicinity right now.
That's okay. Just remind our audience what you are doing there right now.
Okay, I'm an assistant professor for the distance education program, and I am teaching the course that is called Strategic Leadership.
Oh, see?
One of those smart people.
Yes,
one of those smart people.
These are the contacts we have. Oh, this is what we do on Veterans Radio, and I was asking people, you know, what kind of programs do you like to hear? And somebody mentioned down there that they like to talk about, you know, military planning and strategy and so forth. So this is what Christine brings to the table. She was in Kuwait back at the beginning. When were you in Kuwait?
I was there from 2004 to 2005.
Right. And she is a published author.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we met.
Yes.
Somehow I came across her book and had, she was on the program with her husband because we did a show on the family that was left behind.
Right. Right. I think that was a Mother's Day event.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it was, which was great. Well, I know you've got plenty of work that you have to get done for tomorrow. So I just wanted to let the audience say, you know, get to meet another one of our board members. And also that we'll have Christine on at some point in the future whenever she gets a break.
Yeah, I hope to do that soon.
Thanks, Christine. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
And you guys have a great celebration there.
Sounds like there's hundreds and thousands of people.
Well,
here.
Some food has showed up, so the noise level's dropping a little, which is probably good for the audience, right?
Probably.
We'll take it. Thank you. Thank you, Christine, very much.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Hey, I got another. I don't even know who this is from, but I've got congratulations to you and your team for reaching this impressive milestone in your program's history.
Ask John Kinzinger.
Great commitment and wonderful results. To former brother-in-law Dale, we have been plant owners since Veterans Radio began. How about that? That's from my, that's from Bob Finney out in California. That's great. Joan Ford here is locally on Facebook. She wrote, congratulations Veterans, she puts down for our 20th anniversary coming up and what stations were on great broadcasting Veterans Radio all these years. Thank you very much. Let's see, who else have I got? An awesome commitment to America's finest, a military veteran. We thank all of you for, you know, sending in these comments. I'm not going to, you know, cover all of them right now, but we are going to come up and take a break here. So we're going to be playing our Medal of Honor and, we'll be back with talking to more people and talk about the history of what we've been doing. And so stick around. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Captain Louis Millette was wounded by grenade fragments, but refused evacuation. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans' Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
While personally leading his company in an attack against a strongly held Korean position, Millette noted that the 1st Platoon was pinned down by small arms, automatic, and anti-tank fire. Millette ordered the 3rd Platoon forward, placed himself at the head of the 2 platoons, and with fixed bayonet, led the assault up the fire-swept hill. In the fierce charge, he bayoneted two enemy soldiers and boldly continued on, throwing grenades, clubbing and bayoneting the enemy while urging his men forward by shouting encouragement. Despite vicious opposing fire, the whirlwind hand-to-hand assault carried to the crest of the hill. His leadership and personal courage so inspired his men that they stormed into the hostile position and used their bayonets with such lethal effect that the enemy fled in wild disorder. During this fierce onslaught, Millette was wounded by grenade fragments, but refused evacuation until the objective was taken and firmly secured.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit veteranscrisisline.net. Veteranscrisisline.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Hey, we're back here on Veterans Radio with our 1,000th program.
Holy cow, how'd that happen?
I don't know. I'm not that old. It must have started when I was really young. We're joined at our little portable studio here with a very good friend of mine from the Vietnam Veterans of America, Chapter 310, Charles S. Kettle, and that is Tim Driscoll. He's also a very good friend because he's from New Jersey, which is to his advantage. Hiya, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing great. New Jersey. Everybody loves New Jersey. You know, we got good food. You know, we're close to New York. We're close to Philadelphia. It's an awful lot of fun. And, you know, way back when we all got drafted, you know, we come back. We can't wait. We come back and get down the beach
down
and
the
see
shore.
What it's all about. We want to hear all the great music. We want to hear the Beach Boys. You know, we want to just have fun running our cars up and down the edge of the beach down there and see where we can meet and have a lot of fun. And here we are. We wind up going and getting drafted. We wind up going out to Vietnam. We don't quite understand what's going on, but we're there at this point for each other because we must be there for each other. And, you know, Vietnam came and went, broke our hearts. And we come home. We were lucky enough to, you know, what might be a good idea? Remember all the fun we used to have being together? Well, let's try being together. And we're going to turn around and we're going to start some units of our own. We're going to call ourselves Vietnam Vets. And we're going to talk and we're going to think and we're going to have some fun. And that's what we've been doing for about, you know, almost the past 40 years.
Yeah, that's for sure. I know. I mean, remember when you and John Kinzinger and a couple of other people said, oh, come on, Dale, just come to one meeting. Just come to one meeting. And I don't want to go to one meeting. Just leave me alone as a civilian. Let me mope around and try to figure out what's going on in my life. So I went into this first meeting and my first reaction was, oh, my God, they all look like me.
And even more so today.
Even more so today, you know, that we've all got, you know, the snow on top. But so, Tim, I just wanted to ask you to come on because I know that you are the representative and the ambassador for the Vietnam veterans. You're involved with so many different activities all over the place and with helping veterans out. And I know you've been listening to the program.
And it's wonderful.
No, we really,
it's absolutely,
we really appreciate VBA support. You can't do this sort of thing without that.
And
support.
We love you guys and gals very, 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 very much. And, we got you a little something here that I think, everyone will get a smile out of. Here's a little gift for you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It says, how you doing?
Yeah. How you doing?
How you doing, Jersey boy?
Do you notice the communication professor here has lost his accent entirely? You know, so he's, you know, he doesn't talk about it, but he teaches communications, and he's on the air every Sunday. So, he's kind of lost that whole.
I can talk that way if you want me to. It takes a little. Oh, great. I can get it.
Well, it is radio, so you do have to explain it.
Look, everyone,
You got himself a vanity.
I got myself another a Vietnam license plate with a helicopter on the front, and I need one because the one on the front of my car looks like it's been shot at many times. It's all dents and everything else in it. So thank you guys very, very much, as usual. Thank you, Tim.
We're proud to be brothers and sisters. God bless you all. Very much.
So we're going to trade. We're going to trade headphones here and let another veteran get on. And this is high tech, low tech. We had an earlier setup that didn't quite work, so we're thinking this is the best way to bring some of the audience members in. And Dale, back to you.
Up here we are joining me here in this right now. Whoops. Okay, we got it. You can hear us? Okay, now I can hear you. Too.
Even better.
This is William Kirkstra. William Will is another one of our board members. He is also an Army veteran. And,
oh.
No, you weren't? What were you?
Dale, I'm disappointed. Marine Corps.
Oh, he's one of them.
He's let his hair grow off since then. That's what threw you off.
He's no longer hiding. You were hiding as if you were an Army veteran.
Yeah.
But anyway... So Will is here with his family.
Jim, Dale, how are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
We're doing well.
1,000 episodes.
That's pretty amazing.
1,000 episodes in, which is...
I don't think I've done 1,000 of anything in my life.
Well, you did push-ups.
Maybe if you counted them all up.
1,000 push-ups.
That's a pretty good commitment.
Yeah, it is a commitment.
That's a pretty good commitment.
Anyhow, I wanted to introduce again our audience. I told everybody that all of our board members are military, former military. And since Will is a Marine, he's not former. He's still a Marine.
Always.
And, these guys are always Marines, which is okay. But Will is on the other side of the state, and I greatly appreciate you coming over because he's kind of he's the treasurer of our organization, whether he knows it or not. And
Well, and it's really helpful to have somebody with his perspective, his experience bring to the table, something a little different than everybody else. And we do have a pretty good cross section in the board of men and women officers enlisted, different experiences. So it's really helps us as we go into the thousandth episode and then say to each other, what the heck do we do now? How do you follow this up?
I think being fiscally responsible is a good start.
Yeah,
I think.
It is.
Well, you know, it's taken us so long to get to be fiscally responsible because we never really had a whole lot of money. It's not like we have a whole lot of money now, but at least we can,
we have some events. We have some major donors. One of them's in the room. We won't embarrass them by pointing it out, but we do appreciate all of the support that we get from everybody here, and Will and his beautiful wife and child here. We're really glad that you made the trip because it's a big deal for us.
I'm very glad that they came to support as well.
Yeah, it's all right. So since you were a Marine, what did you do in the Marine Corps? What, like all the other Marines, or
well,
their job?
It's actually funny that they were talking about fiscal responsibility because in 2010, I was a pay agent for the Marine Corps for the Commander's Emergency Response Program. So we would go out and we would pay battle damage and condolence payments during the Battle of Marja in 2010. So, and we had to account for every single penny that we spent.
They did this with crayons. This is really amazing.
I only signed everything in crayons.
Right, they kept the ledgers in crayons and it all balanced. So those are the Marines for you.
We need to do this on television.
Yeah.
All the signs and faces that we're making.
So we're going to grab a couple of extra guests. A couple just surprised, walked in.
I got it.
Will, we hate to rush you.
No, absolutely. Gentlemen, thank you for having us on. I know we have some other guests coming. So thank you. And Dale, congratulations on the 1,000th episode.
Thank you. I hope we know. We're coming up. We've got a big party coming up on the at the end of September. It's going to be.
We'll finish with it.
We're going to the 20th anniversary of Veterans Radio is going to be at the end of September. So we're confusing. So everybody, you know, we got 16 mics here going all over the place. So those of you, we appreciate our audience.
And
being
I'm marketing
there.
Them live. I'm sorry about
yeah,
that.
That's right. Here. Over here. No, so we want to thank everybody for your patience with the quality of our program today. So right now and sitting down and joining us is one of the gentlemen that is considered the veteran's veteran. This is a guy who has been involved in veterans organizations and affairs probably since the day about how soon did you get involved in these organizations? This is John Kinzinger, by the way, Veteran of the Year, DAR recipient this year as Veteran of the Year.
Of the world.
Holy mackerel.
If you say yes to everything, John, this is what happens, right?
My wife has told me, she said, what are you going to do now? Become veteran of the world? I said, honey, I don't do anything for that stuff. But anyway, what an honor to be here with Dale, Jim, and the group on the 1,000th broadcast. I was asked to speak maybe the second broadcast or the third broadcast. Oh, my goodness, it's already 1,000. Dale, you do wonderful things. You've had so many wonderful people on the air sharing stories and authors and Michael Martin comes to to mind. That you play Michael Martin's songs now and then, and what a troubadour he was. And well, it's just an honor to be here. It's too bad people who are listening weren't able to make it down here to the sidetrack because the food is great. There's still a couple empty seats. I think you could probably still order some food.
We're going to be here until 7 o'clock. So if you're riding out there in your convertible, guys, come on down. We'll be here and we have food and beverages and you can purchase whatever you want to drink.
Good fellowship.
Some great stories I can see going on out there already. There are a lot of smiles.
Yes. Yes.
Good.
But God bless you and your journey. May you continue broadcasting and connecting we veterans together. We must stick together.
Yep, and, that's right.
John, thanks for everything that you do, and thanks for continuing to be a supporter of Veterans Radio. To do this weekly is not easy, but it's great to have guys who say good things and make you feel like, okay, what you're doing has got a purpose, and I know that's what keeps Dale going.
Yeah, well, he's a trooper. I couldn't have imagined 20 years that he'd still be doing it. You know, who does
it? Was so bad in episode two. You thought this
who does anything for 20 years, Dale?
In today's world,
you're doing great, man.
Thanks, John. Thank you.
Take care, man.
While we transition to another guest here in the impromptu sidetrack studio, he mentioned authors, and we get to talk to folks like Dwight Zimmerman and Doug Stirner. We've had all kinds of really, famous national history and military authors. So that's just another way we are able to tell stories here on Veterans Radio.
Well, those are, you know, for the Vietnam veterans, and we've had the opportunity of talking with Tim O'Brien, and I know that my guest who's sitting across from me now has been gone for so long. Hard to remember, but this is the voice of the Medal of Honor.
It is
here on Veterans Radio that you hear every week. Thank God you recorded so many of them.
Yeah,
Ken Rogie. Thank you. Right, Ken.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well,
thank
you missed very much. Ken. You missed the early setup.
Okay,
where Dale admitted, without you and knowing something about radio, it would have been a cat disaster.
Well, I got to tell you, the first station we worked at, I remember call signs.
USDS.
USDS, yeah. Was so bad, they had a cat in there that was running up and down the console where you're trying to do a show.
See, you weren't lying earlier.
I pick it up.
So no. Ken has now verified that story, but it's Ken's great voice that you hear every week on the Medal of Honor. You hear it on the Legal Help for Veterans promo. Your expertise is what got us through the first.
When we started, none of that made any sense to me the way they had it set up. So it was all by the seat of the pants, you know.
Yeah, as it was an hour ago, if you had been here while we were trying to set up, you would have said, Dale, you haven't learned a dang thing in 1,000 episodes.
Well, I tried to teach him, but you know. Yeah.
That's why we get
Army pilots.
Helicopter pilots, it's a problem.
Yeah. I just, you know, you get in, you sit, you go. Come back, get out, and they fix it.
Yeah.
Here, I have to fix it myself. It didn't work out too well. So, Ken, what are you up to? I know that you're still involved in Veterans Affairs.
Yeah, I'm the first vice of the Michigan State Council for VBA. That's keeping me busy hand over fist.
Yeah.
And doing various things in that. I've kind of backed off on a lot of other activities because I'm 83 years old. You know, I'm got to slow down.
You look great. You sound even better. So,
well, voice hasn't changed, but the body has.
Yeah, we're back to we have a face for radio, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, well, we were talking earlier about some of our favorite episodes, and when Jim was talking about authors, and I can't remember the author that you did with, Burying the Upside Down. Do you remember that story?
Oh.
I don't remember the book. I just remember that it was an Air Force pilot or something.
Yeah. And I can't remember it too well, but the show that I remember most was, now I can't remember.
Now this is,
I was thinking about it when I was
coming. Keep thinking, it'll come to you. But this is why we have an archives.
Yeah.
So you can find all 1,000 programs in the archive, and the internet's made this so much simpler to be able to retrieve that stuff with the search engines and whatnot.
Yeah.
So Bury Me Upside Down is out there somewhere.
Yes. And I can finally get rid of all of those CDs that are in my house.
Nobody has a CD player anymore either, Dale.
I know.
Yeah. We're lucky. We got to make sure they keep AM radios in the cars.
Chuck Yeager.
That's right.
Chuck Yeager. I've been one of my favorite ones, but the other was Colonel Bud Day.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Medal of Honor recipient. And what he had to go through in prisoner of war camp.
Yeah.
It just really got to me. And I read his book beforehand, so I had some good insight what he was going through.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was thinking about that. We've got, it's just amazing what the people that we've had the privilege of talking to over time. I think it's, Just, what are you guys doing? He's moving people in and out around.
Musical people.
Musical guests is going. We got about 3 minutes to go, folks. So we obviously we cannot get everybody on the program, but we are, we just brought in, Dave Draper. Dave is the, what are you the commander of now?
Vice commander of Vice the American commander. Legion Post 46 in Ann Arbor.
One of our sponsors, which we, you know, we certainly do appreciate all of their contributions to us over the year. We were talking with Ken about some of our favorite programs. And, you know, I've had you on the program. I've had your wife on the program. And, which was cool because she's in the Philippines. She kind of gave us a little background on what was going on.
Yeah.
And Ken, I can't thank you enough.
Shit.
Yeah. Oof, here we go, off the air again. we can't thank you enough for, you know, helping us get going. The great work that you did on those Medal of Honor. I'd love to have you do some more.
I just don't have the facilities.
I know. You'd get started again. You got to get some people, you know, that are in the 21st century. But we're working on them. And so anyway, Ken, thank you so much for making the effort to come out here. Congratulations to you and what you're doing now, to you and your family. And
thank you.
Thank you for being my friend.
Yeah, thank you. Good to see you, Dale.
Good to see you, Ken.
Jim?
So, good to
see you. Hey, Dave.
So we're able to get a lot of people in, but not everybody who we should talk to. But somebody's got a little special presentation, I think, to make.
What's that?
We
2 minutes, I think.
Yes, and I'm sorry. Just a quick thing. So on behalf of the American Legion Post 46, as I was saying, we want to congratulate you on your 1,000 shows. And I would also like to present you with we're celebrating our 100th anniversary. And this is a new challenge coin that we just had minted. And it's a picture of Irwin Priestcorn on it. That's who our,
named after,
our post is named after. And so we would like to have, like you to have that if you, would accept it.
Oh, of course. Oh, this is awesome. Again, I'm sorry. We'll put a picture of this up on our website.
There you go. That's the way to do it.
So everybody can see it. Thank you. This is just wonderful.
And I realize you got, minimal time here. So thank you very much.
All right. So we're coming up to the end of our 1,000th episode, and we want to thank everybody for coming out today, to celebrate with us. It's been wonderful. And I think it's awe inspiring to think of all of the people that we have touched in this, 1,000 episodes. And I got about 2 seconds, right? How much time have I got, Derek?
Yeah, 23 seconds.
Well, I got 23 seconds. That's all we got. So joining me real quickly is our benefits expert persona extraordinaire, retired General Carol Ann Fassel.
Dale, congratulations on 1,000. And if I tell you,
we got to go. I'm sorry. Just say goodbye.
Thank you. Bye. God bless you.
You are dismissed.
Yay.
God bless America. From the mountains. sweet.